Guten Tag! Jonathan Harling here, stepping in for Davis van Opdorp in the host role, who is away on wedding duties this week. So it's up to Matt Ford and I to discuss the action, and there's no better place to start than Peer ter Stöger and Cologne, a relationship that is no more. Cologne have cut the cord on Stöger's time at the club after 14 winless games proved one too many. Matt was there, he spoke to Cologne fans, he soaked up the atmosphere, so we'll be getting a special from him later on in the show, and we'll have a good chat about the decision and whether it was a good one for Cologne looking at the season ahead. We'll also be looking at Borussia Dortmund and the fact that they still can't defend and they can't beat a side with 10 men, even though they had 45 minutes to conjure up some magic. And we'll also be looking at Hoffenheim against Leipzig, where Julian Nagelsmann found the simplest way of beating one of the most difficult sides in the Bundesliga. Oh, and Serge Gnabry scored from 45 metres. All this and a little bit more in this week's edition of Tribune Weekly.
Match day 14 here in the Bundesliga, and after the excitement of last week's Gavia derby between Dortmund and Schalke, which where an incredible match ended 4-4, we are off to watch Schalke again. This time, however, slightly differently. This time we're on a bus full of Cologne fans. We're travelling up with them, and we'll be in the away end at the Veltins Arena in Gelsenkirchen to see how the match unfolds from there. The last time we travelled with Cologne fans to a match was back on match day one, when everything in the world of FC Köln looked a little bit rosier. I think it's fair to put it like that. That was 13 games ago. Cologne lost that match, the derby away at Mönchengladbach, 1-0, unfortunately. And since then, they've still not won a game. In fact, they've only got 2 points and they've only scored 4 goals. Kevin, you're sat here on the bus now. Why are you still bothering?
Yeah, because I've been watching this club since I'm a little kid. Now I'm 21 years old. And actually, it should be the best season since I'm supporting this club. And I'm still supporting it even if we're playing not good.
Can you even begin to maybe explain or describe or summarise what's going wrong? Are there several different problems? How long have we got? This journey's going to take 1 hour and a half, so we've got a long time.
I guess there are many problems. I think the biggest problem is that our team is just too weak, too many young players. They are all very talented, but not they're just not good enough or experienced enough for the Bundesliga. And maybe Stöger doesn't even know what to do anymore.
There's been a few rumours this week about whether Peter Stöger should stay or go. Stöger himself said that he himself would like a little bit more certainty. Do you personally think that he's the right man, or like you said, have there been too many injuries? Is he not to blame?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at our team, Hector is injured, Risse, even Höger. We don't have Modest anymore. I think that it doesn't matter who really coaches the team, because it's very difficult for any coach to compensate those injuries. For players like Hector, we don't have any subs who can play like them. So I guess it's very, very hard for him. For me personally, I wouldn't have a problem to go with him down in the second league. But on the other hand,
of course, Cologne got promoted with Peter Stöger.
Yeah, Freiburg with Christian Streich. But on the other hand,
is that a fair comparison to make between Cologne and Freiburg? In Freiburg, the fans are quite used to being a team that goes up and down. They don't see themselves as a big club. But surely Cologne are bigger than that.
Maybe the name, because we have been a very good club since the 60s and 70s, but since I was born in 1996, we aren't that good anymore. So actually, anybody should be realistic enough to realize that we are not that big of a club, and not even better than Freiburg anymore, because they played in the Europa League 2 or 3 years ago as well. They are not really worse than us, so for me personally it would be okay, because Peter Stöger did really good, and the main problem was the transfers from Jörg Schmatzke, or to be more precise, the transfers that didn't happen, so that we are in the situation we have now.
Cologne have done a lot of really good work off the pitch in the past 3 or 4 years. The club has turned from a bit of a traditional carnival club, in the truest sense of the word, a bit of a joke of a club, into what appears to be a much more professional outfit. That seems to have changed this year. What do you think has gone wrong in the more general structure of the club to leave Cologne in such a desperate situation?
I think the main problem was that the president and everybody who works with them, they said that the supporters should be realistic, like that video from Schmadtke, ruhig bleiben and everything back in the second league. Because everybody said that Cologne fans are dreaming, that they are not realistic. But in the end, Werner Spinner and his team, they thought that we play next year against Real Madrid just because we qualified for the Europa League this season. That we should build a new stadium. And if you look now, there are still thousands of tickets left for the match against Gladbach. So I think that the main problem was from the leading guys in the club itself.
Maybe the personalities at the top of the club got a little bit carried away with where they were.
Yes.
No, interesting comments, Kevin. Thanks for your time. I'm just going to move down towards the back of the bus now to speak to a couple of other lads who we also spoke to on day one of the season. Peter, just as I was saying to Kevin there, last time we spoke to you on the podcast, well, I was actually in Leverkusen, but due to editorial issues, your content wasn't used, but we have a strict policy. Mönchengladbach was the last time. That was 13 games ago. Can you describe what's happened since then?
It's really, really hard to describe what happened, because I think we all didn't really understand what actually happened. 13 games down the road, and we still haven't won a single one in the league. European Cup by the side. I don't know what happened since summer. Somehow it all went down.
Do you think obviously it's not even Christmas yet, but do you think there's any chance at all that Cologne can rescue the situation, or are you starting to accept the fact that this might be Division 2?
Me personally, I accepted Division 2. Of course, as long as the second half of the season hasn't started, everything is possible in a theoretic way, but I don't see how we can turn this around with only 2 points so far, and I don't see how we can gain any more. Therefore, I think Division 2 for us next season.
I'll ask you the same question that I asked Kevin then, because there's been a lot of talk about Peter Stöger's future this week. Do you think he's the right man in charge?
I like him very much, and I think he's a very good manager. Therefore, I would like him to stay on the one hand. On the other hand, I don't know if in the situation the club is right now, it's good for him and for the club to stay. I don't think it's his fault, at least not to a larger degree. I think the most mistakes were made at other points within the club. Therefore, if we are relegated with him, I think it's fine. But if he decides to leave, or if the club decides it's better to try another manager, then I'm fine with that as well. And the other thing is, who should replace him? I don't think there's any candidate that is just more fit than him for this position. Therefore, I think right now it's the best to go with Stöger.
I think I'm right in saying that Peter Stöger is he the longest ever serving FC Köln coach?
I think so, yeah.
Is that true?
I think so, yeah. I was kind of surprised by this statistic as well, but I think...
That says a lot about the situation Cologne were in for all those decades, doesn't it? That they changed
definitely,
so much.
So
maybe a little bit of stability would be a good idea at this point. You mentioned Europe before. Obviously, in Europe, Cologne have had a couple of victories. Are you going to Belgrade?
I do, yeah.
What's your plan for Belgrade? How are you going to get there?
We're going to fly on Wednesday and then stay that night in a hotel, and then on Thursday do a bit of tourist stuff in Belgrade and then watch the game. Try not to get beaten up by their supporters.
I'm sure the Red Star Belgrade ultras will be preparing a warm welcome in the minus temperatures.
Probably, yeah. And then on the night from Thursday to Friday, we will fly back to Cologne. And I will try to enjoy it as much as I can, because quite possibly it will be the last time we will get to Europe for a very long time.
Cologne only need a... Can't Cologne go through with a point?
I think we need to win because of...
We have to win because otherwise Belgrade will go through because they beat us in the first leg.
So Cologne need a win away at Belgrade to go through. So all is to play for after that performance against Arsenal. It's possible. Peter, thanks for your time. We're just going to move back now down towards the front of the bus, where I've heard there are a couple of interesting passengers on who could have a couple of interesting things to say. We'll just move down here. Excuse me. Lads, excuse me. Just in podcast here, I'm a journalist from England as well. I've heard that you two have come from the UK as well. Yeah. Is that true? Please say it is, otherwise I'm going to look like a right idiot. Yeah, yeah. Do you want to introduce yourself and say where you're from and what you're doing here?
I'm Cam from Birmingham.
Leo from Birmingham.
We just follow Cologne, good fans, good atmosphere, so we come over when we can and watch.
Have you got a team in the UK?
Villa. Season tickets at the Villa. So.
Both Aston Villa season ticket holders. What got you involved with FC Cologne in the first place, and how many times do you manage to get over to games?
This is my fifth game in the last year. We wanted to come to Cologne for the markets, and my brother works for a company who've got an office in Germany, in Cologne. So he just emailed a bloke from the office randomly and then got us tickets, and that was it.
Okay. Have you been to Schalke before?
Nah, first time okay.
today. What's been your opinion of Cologne this season? Because it might not have escaped your notice that they're actually not very good.
It's not the best, but, you know, we still turn up, don't we, and watch, so it's all right.
What's the difference between German football and English football for you?
Atmosphere, much better in Germany, I think. And it's too expensive now in England, I think. I think that's the biggest difference.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, I would.
What would you change in England, or just as an example, what would you change at Aston Villa to bring back some of the atmosphere that we see at Cologne games, for example?
Once the law passes in England to get safe standing back, that'll improve English football.
That is one of the things that obviously a lot of British fans do tend to mention when they come over to Germany, the existence of standing terraces, the fact that when you have a standing terrace, the tickets are naturally cheaper because you're not charging people for a seat. That in turn leads to a younger set of fans generally going to games who can afford those prices, can't normally afford £30, but they can afford €12 for a game, and those sorts of fans do tend to be the louder ones. Describe your trip this time. When did you set off from the UK?
We left from Birmingham on... What day have we come? Friday. Flew to Dusseldorf, got the train to Cologne, and then we're going home tomorrow after the game. So.
Good stuff, lads. Cheers.
West Brom fans on.
John's just showing down the front here. John, you've organised this bus.
Yep.
Do you want to just tell us a little bit about what you have to do? How do you go about organising a bus full of football fans to go to an away match?
I send an email to a couple of bus companies and choose the cheapest one. And then that's it.
Do you ever get questions back from bus companies refusing to take football fans, or is it okay?
No. No, I haven't so far. I mean, they could be turning me down because not because they don't have any buses, but because they don't want anything to do with us. But no, not really.
How many buses have you organised before? This isn't the first one, is it?
No, it's third or fourth.
Okay. And thoughts on Cologne? Are we going to get a win today?
Well, I'm not going to swear this time. No. No, we're going to be beaten 3-0 Schalke. I mean, we're just finished. We're going to be relegated with like single digits at the end of the season. We're just rubbish. Tasmania, Cologne.
You're off to Belgrade as well.
We're going to win in Belgrade. Yeah, no, we're going to win in Belgrade and then, but be relegated by Christmas.
So we're looking at Cologne winning the Europa League, Champions League team next year, but Division 2.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, well, without a question. Yeah, we're going to win the cup as well.
There you go. So despite one of the worst ever starts in Bundesliga history, the atmosphere and the mood on the coach with the Cologne fans is good ahead of kickoff. So yeah, we'll join you a little bit later on.
Nobody's going to hear anything.
It's good. can hear the Cologne fans leaving the away end. They were obviously delighted with the point, but it was also interesting then, Flo, at the end of the game, not just the players came over, but unusually Peter Sturger came over to the away end, and the chants were, yeah, Peter Sturger, lots of support for the coach, but it looked very much like a goodbye.
Yeah, it seemed to me like he took a bow and that was his goodbye to us. I don't know. I think it would be a mistake, but we'll see. We have to see.
Yeah, we were talking about that before the game, and quite a few of the Cologne fans thought that, in fact, there's so many things that have gone wrong with Cologne this season that Peter Sturger is probably the last thing that's gone wrong. But when he came over then at the end of the game, it certainly seemed like he was coming over to say goodbye to the travelling fans there. So we'll see what happens with that in the week. But yeah, as it is, that's Cologne's third point of the season.
So Matt, third point of the season, you were there, as you just said. We now have the benefit of being a further few days on, and Peter Sturger is no longer the head coach of Cologne. You said it might have been a mistake at the time. Cologne fans said it might have been a mistake at the time. How do you feel now?
I still think it's a mistake, personally. I think, as we heard then, some of the things the Cologne fans had to say, there are so many things that have gone wrong at Cologne this season over the past 4 or 5 months, and it's such an incredible turnaround, and the contrast couldn't be greater between that absolute euphoria last May when they beat Mainz to confirm that place in the Europa League, and now, and you get the feeling that point at the end of last season really was the culmination of 3 or 4 years of absolutely outstanding work at a club which has traditionally been a proper carnival club, a genuine joke of a club. Some of the decisions that have been made, and it's always been running to the ground financially over previous decades. And yeah, perhaps it was too good to be true to think that Cologne have turned the corner. As we said, so many things have gone wrong, whether that was the whole scenario surrounding Anthony Modeste's transfer, the attempt to replace him with John Cordoba, and not only suggesting that's the only reason, or that he's not a good player, or that he's not good enough to fill those boots, but spending 17 million of the 34 million that they got for Modeste on him smacked of desperation and a complete lack of planning. Whilst they weren't planning for that eventuality, they seemed overly occupied with planning for a potential move out of their stadium to build a new 75,000 seater somewhere on the outskirts of Cologne, which didn't go down well with the fans for various reasons. One, they're very proud of their city. The last thing they want is some plastic stadium outside the city on the edge of the motorway. They've been playing in that suburb, Müngersdorf, for the past 100 years in various stadia, but always on that same plot of land. And there was a feeling especially among a lot of the hardcore fans, that the fans were being ignored, that there was Cologne not focusing on what they had to do on the pitch, and that's winning games and building a proper squad and building on the success of last year, but getting obsessed and carried away with this idea that, oh no, we're in Europe now, we're going to go on pre-season tours to China like Dortmund and Bayern do. It's like, no, you are FC Cologne, think about where you've come from. And Peter Sturger's had to operate in that situation. Injuries have been a problem as well. Jonas Hector's been out for ages. Leonardo Bittencourt has been too unreliable in terms of his fitness.
Well, they've had something like 13 players out at the moment. I think before this game it was 11, 12.
Yeah, they played 16-year-old Bissek against Hertha Berlin last week. It's such a difficult situation for them. And I don't blame those players one bit. I blame them in terms of in terms of quality, simply not good enough. But they can't be faulted for their effort.
No, and I think we have arrived at a situation, you pointed out all of those points, made all of those points, that actually this is an instance where the head coach isn't to blame, but he's ultimately taking the fall. And I wrote about this the other day, and I just feel like Cologne, as you say, have lost sight of their own reality. Suddenly they've become obsessed with expectations that are way beyond achieving. And I think that's a dangerous situation to be in. We've seen it with so many football teams these days where they get into a situation where they surprise qualify for Europe, or they get above themselves and then they get £50 million for a striker and suddenly everything becomes unrealistic. And I think it's a shame that a manager who's had to deal with all of that and all those injuries. And, you know, that game was, they turned things around, really. I mean, Schalke weren't great, but they still took advantage. And
there have been a few signs of life football-wise as well. And given the injury situation that we mentioned and given the absolutely depressing moral state of that team, God knows how those players would be feeling week in, week out. And yet the support's always been there. The fans haven't really turned on them. And they put them in a great fighting performance against Arsenal in the Europa League to get...
Still there.
Really was an historic win.
Absolutely, still with a chance of making the knockouts.
If they beat Belgrade this week, they have a chance of going through. The performance against Schalke again wasn't bad.
Given the personnel.
Seru Guirassy has actually done very well for... Is he 19, 20?
Yeah.
To step into Modest's shoes there. And he's inexperienced. He's very raw. He's got a lot to learn. But he's leading the line well. Works hard. He's got a good shot on him. He can score goals. He stepped up twice in the past couple of weeks to take big pressure penalties against Schalke and Arsenal. It really isn't the absolute be-all and end-all. I think the one area in which we could level criticism at Peter Stöger and his team would be the injury situation. Yes, they've had to deal with Europa League as well, so you don't really have a chance to train properly. You don't really have a chance to do your conditioning work that well in between games. But the injury list... Dearie me, you do have to think...
How have we got here?
Is there something wrong there in terms of the physical training, the conditioning? And that, I mean, does come down to Peter Stöger and his team.
What happens now, though? I mean, the press conference with the president and the business manager of the team was fairly laughable. I mean, you know, the excuse that Dietmar Beiersdorf was seen in Cologne because he might be at the Christmas market is almost, you know... beyond comical, and I think Cologne fans will be rightly aggrieved to see such comments.
Taking good humour, though, a lot of them saying, well, I mean, FC Köln is vida da, yep. Cologne is there again.
Cologne, we'd expect nothing less from Cologne fans, to be fair. I mean, what was it, they even have arranged their promotion party for next season already. So, I mean, there's certainly an element of Cologne that will always stay the same. But what do they do now? You know, under-19 coach is coming in now until the winter break, and then they're going to make a decision for the next 6 months. But I personally felt like they should have just stayed with Stöger, gone down with Stöger if needs be, not forgotten their place, as it were. You know, look at Freiburg, they haven't forgotten their place. Christian Streich is still there. They're a selling club. They're okay with that. They take the highs with the lows. But
we discussed exactly that on the podcast. I think it was Peter who came up with that point, because I asked him, is that acceptable for Cologne, a club of that stature and of such a great history and with such a fan base, to be comparing themselves to Freiburg? And that's probably not what they want. However, when you look at the reality...
That is the reality.
The fans admit that. So yeah, in terms of the football, they are no better than Freiburg. In many aspects, they're a lot worse. But Freiburg and Christian Streich, perhaps because it's where they come from, it's the situation they're in, they seem to be able to recognise that. They recognise what they are. They know that they're
an
elevator club. They're up and down all the time.
Hmm.
Cologne rightly want more than that, but they've really got ahead of themselves. For what they should do now in terms of the manager... I think the obvious one is that they have to plan for next year. They have to plan for a manager who can get them back up out of Division 2.
So there's no way they're going to stay in the division, because Alex Vela was talking about, you know, I think it's terrible that we would even talk about the second division. The business manager of Cologne, he said, oh, you know, we've got 20 Bundesliga games left. There's no need to talk about the second division. There's still plenty of work to be done. But, I mean, can we realistically see a turnaround here?
The relationship between... Vela and the board at Cologne and the support has been strained hugely this
year.
And I think he would have done a lot better for himself and earned a lot more respect from some of the supporters if he'd have come out honestly and said, now, right, we know where we are, we accept the mistakes we've made, and we're going to plan ahead now long term and consistently for the second division. That's the plan. Let's be honest, there's absolutely no way they're recovering that.
No, absolutely not. But who's the man that comes in January? Is that, you know, you talk about second division.
The man's Peter Stöger, isn't it?
Well, absolutely, right? I mean, but if it isn't him, then are we going to have the old carousel of names like Armin Fay and Bruno Labbadia thrown about again? Or is this a case of, you know, there's lots of talk about Marcus Anfang, the guy at Holstein Kiel, who's done an excellent job there, came from Leverkusen's youth teams and has done a great job getting them into, what, second, I think, now in the second division? But, you know, Keeler saying something like it's going to take €10 million to buy him out of the contract. There's obviously a bit of...
Cologne's still got €17 million left.
And there you go. Maybe they can spend it all on a striker and a manager.
Spend it wisely for once. yeah, They have two options, don't they? And we talk about this a lot in terms of the Premier League as well. Do you go to the old managerial merry-go-round of the likes of Armin Fee, and in terms of the sporting director, they mentioned Horst Held,
yeah,
got blown out. They mentioned Beiersdorfer, and that's been blown out. But these are all the same names. In my opinion, yeah, I'd probably go along more of the route that you suggested there, and somewhere on the, yeah, whether it's Anfanger
or not, just
at Kiel, who knows? But it's, yeah, certainly someone in that bracket, along with Hannes Wolf, Domenico Tedesco's. There's a lot of talent out there in German football, and for me, for Cologne, that would be the route to go down. Whether the board and those in charge of the club at the moment can see that or are willing to look at themselves and admit that is a different question altogether.
Right, let's take a look at Borussia Dortmund. A draw with Leverkusen this week, which on paper probably looks like a welcome result given their recent form, but they did have the entire second half against 10 men after Wendell's red card, and yet they really didn't look like doing anything to merit a victory, which would have been perhaps undeserved in some respects, but much needed given the pressure on Peter Bosch.
Yeah, I've just seen it summed up best, I think, in a piece I've just read where it said that result is, if it's not a step backwards. That's probably the best we can say about Borussia Dortmund.
A backhanded compliment there, if ever.
It's not got any worse yet, but of course, Madrid to come on Wednesday. A lot of the same issues, and we've discussed them to death.
Look at the high line for that goal. I mean, brings in Subotic. There's discussions about why he's in over Bartra and the trust there. There's obviously not much trust going on between Bosch and his defence. And then just a very tepid attack, you know, without Aubameyang.
The moment Dortmund lost the ball in the build-up to Kevin Folland's goal, I think I counted four or five Dortmund players who were then ahead of play at that moment, which, as we said a million times, it says everything about Peter Bosch's system. He wants them pressing high. He wants them to be in a position for those quick transitions. And that's absolutely fine. But everyone needs to be doing that at the same time, and currently they're not losing the ball in such dangerous situations, because then within 1 second, you've got all three defenders, I think, on the half.
Even inside.
Over the half.
Yeah.
Inside Leverkusen half, and all inside the centre circle as well. So it's so narrow. And I'm not sure what sort of attempt that was at a clearance from Nevin Subotic, but it was only his second start of the season, so
maybe we can't blame him too much.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't have been thrown in there.
No.
In the way he was, and yeah, it was quite laughable the way Folland could then go through and finish it off quite well, and he's having a good season for Leverkusen, so fair dues to him. A lot of the same mistakes for Borussia Dortmund.
How long do we, you know, we keep talking about the same mistakes? How long do you know? They said after the game, Michel Zorc, we want to turn things around with Peter Bosch. Now, okay, so we've just talked about a club that haven't done that with their manager. But I think the clear difference is there that Stöger hadn't lost the players, he hadn't lost the dressing room or the support of the fans, and he quite clearly was doing the best that he could with a very limited set of resources. Whereas Peter Bosch, don't get me wrong, Dortmund have had a horrible set of injuries, and this weekend was no difference. Out for ages. Maximilian Philipp looks like he's torn his cruciate. Castro's probably torn something in his ankle. When things are, when it rains, it pours, absolutely. But that being said, there's a stark difference between the way that Cologne have been playing for Stöger and Dortmund have been playing for Bosch. And it seems like Dortmund are desperate for this to work out. But how long are you just, flogging a dead horse, basically? I mean, what do Dortmund do? Is it a case of we lose 4-0 to Madrid and then we decide? Because a lot of people will say, well, that was clear before this game.
All the signals coming out of the club seem to suggest that they're going to hold on to Peter Bosch until at least the Christmas break. Who have they got? They've got, I think, is it Mainz? They've got Bremen, Hoffenheim, Mainz, I think, but in that order after the Madrid game. Normally you'd say, 9 points in the bag there for Borussia Dortmund. That's doable. But on current form, you wouldn't be surprised if they came out of that with three draws or even a defeat in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Just given Hoffenheim's form against Red Bull at the weekend as well. It's a difficult situation because, in fact, Peter Bosch is the replacement. He is the new man.
Mm.
It didn't work out with Thomas Tuchel. He is their new man. So they're not looking at a plan B now, Dortmund. They're looking at a plan C. I doubt they have it. Why should they? They didn't expect this to happen. It looks like he's going to remain in charge, doesn't it? But with the injury situation, I can't see an improvement coming.
It's just interesting that how young players like Julian Weigl is still coming back from fitness, but just looks a shadow of his former self. How you've got Aubameyang causing potential issues off the field as well. There just seems to be a lot of disruption around the club, and maybe they need the winter break to turn things around. Interestingly enough, the second week in a row, Leverkusen played extremely well with 10 men, and Heiko Herrlich just upsetting the pre-season predictions once again.
As we said, I think a couple of weeks ago we mentioned that this attitude and this belief that Herrlich seems to have installed in that Leverkusen team, and yeah, as you said, now 2 weeks in a row, two games at least,
where
they've really, really crafted with 10 men, and yeah. Very, very impressive. Although, yeah, they've still got to start converting those draws into wins because they're still 8th or 9th. So despite the good form and the impressive performances, yeah, the results need to start coming now. But I think they're on the right track. And unlike Dortmund, they won't have European distractions to come in the new year. Of course, Dortmund could be without that as well if results don't go their way on Wednesday. And that might even be something of a...
A final straw? Yeah. I mean, if Dortmund don't manage to finish in a Europa League spot at that point, an Apoel Nicosia take it.
Is that what they want, given the injury situation, given the squad situation?
Perhaps, but I mean...
Do they really want to be in the Europa League come the new year?
I think for Dortmund's stature, I mean, obviously Vatska said at the last general meeting, the General Assembly, that, you know, Champions League is a must next season. So they've got to finish in the top four.
Or win the Europa League.
But I mean, in current form, we can't win... In the Bundesliga, so...
I think Vatsko's right to point that out. Given the sort of ballpark that Borussia Dortmund want to be playing...
They have to be in Europe as a team. Absolutely.
They have to be in the... You know, they have to be in the Champions League.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no money for a club Borussia Dortmund stature in the Europa
absolutely.
League.
Absolutely.
And placing all your eggs in one basket to go and win that competition...
Is a risky one.
Is a huge risk.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't trust them to do it. It's a tough competition to win.
So given that you just said that they'll hang on to Peter Bosch until the winter break, do they fire him if they don't make the Europa League and finish bottom of their Champions League group?
It'd be very, very difficult to keep him, wouldn't it? It really, really would. But then we look around, who are the options?
I mean, apparently, if you reports are to be believed, they've asked everybody that's anybody, right? They've asked Hitzfeld, he said no. There were rumours about Armin Fay coming in as an interim boss, which is just very uninspiring from a Borussia Dortmund. Apparently, he just laughed it off, and they said they were going to give him a job next summer because Bayern said that he isn't experienced enough, so he goes to Dortmund in the summer. So then your thinking is we appoint someone for 6 months, which means then it's an interim boss and you're trying to save the season. But if you're trying to save the season at Dortmund, that still means finishing in the top four, which means the head coach appointment, even if it's on an interim basis, has to be good enough. Can't just be a youth team coach. Stuttgart have come out and defiantly said Hannes Wolf is not going anywhere near his former club. So really, from Dortmund's perspective, you're running out of options.
It's going to be a completely different situation in the second half of the season, because not only are Schalke going to continue this good run there on with no European distractions, Hoffenheim are out of Europe as well now. And we saw this week that performance for the first time in weeks. Nagelsmann was able to train properly. He had his squad together all week. They were able to train. They were able to work on that classic Hoffenheim grit and hard work that we're used to seeing. This really aggressive style of play that we see from them usually, but that's been missing this year because they've had so many games to play. They won't have that in the new year either. So I can see them being contenders for the top four as well. So there's not much space for Dortmund to sneak in there.
Well, apropos Hoffenheim, nice, lovely segue there. A comprehensive victory against Rasenball Leipzig this weekend. Just a dominant performance, although they had less possession and played fewer passes and were in many respects, statistically, the second best team on the pitch. Aided, of course, by a spectacular goal slash performance from Serge Gnabry. But really, Leipzig were just sort of blown away by a Hoffenheim side that came into this game relatively out of form.
It was an interesting one, yeah. I think going into it, Hoffenheim had won. They'd won 2 in 12, hadn't they?
It's pretty bad.
How much of that can we put down to the fact they're in the Europa League? As we said, a lot of travel, a depleted squad because obviously the high profile departures of Rudy and Zula in the summer as well. There were reasons for that. Although I don't imagine Julian Nagelsmann to be the sort of coach who would come out with those excuses. But he definitely seemed happy with that at the weekend, and they. the way they went at RB really, I think it really knocked them out of their stride, which is unusual for
doesn't normally happen.
A team that's usually so well prepared under Hasenhüttl. And there's an interesting contrast. I thought with the first goal, I was watching it back before. If anything, I thought Red Bull were pressing too high, too aggressively. So many men surrounding the ball that when they lost it, and great work from Dennis Geiger, they were all congregated in one area of the pitch, which then following a great ball out to the right from Geiger left them in all sorts of trouble, and that's where the first goal came from. Conversely, it seemed with the second goal, when the long ball went through up towards Gnabry, he was left in far too much space because the Red Bull defenders weren't getting anywhere near close enough.
Mm.
So it seemed that the way that Hoffenheim went about the game plan just really seemed to affect Hasenhüttl's side there. And they came out of the stride, either pressing too high or nowhere near enough. And when you've got someone like Gnabry on form, it was his first Bundesliga goal, I think, for
Hoffenheim. I think so.
But what we saw, how dangerous he is for Werder Bremen last year. And when he's on form, you're going to concede goals.
Is that the difference now? Hoffenheim have, as you say, came into this game, with 2 out of 12 in terms of wins in games. But is having a player like Gnabry back the difference? Can he be the reason that they turn draws into wins?
Yeah, why not? Certainly a good player. And we saw that vision to pick up the ball the way he did.
What a goal.
Absolutely brilliant. And there's been a few like that recently, haven't there? And like I said before, I think given that they won't have that distraction in the new year, they've got something to build on there when the Rook Runder starts. And as I said before, one player I would highlight would be Dennis Geiger, who I think has stepped into that defensive midfield role in place of Sebastian Rudi really, really well.
Well, it's funny because after the game, Nagelsmann said he was asked about whether Gnabry would consider staying on after the end of the loan spell. And he said whether he would like that. And he said, well, there are lots of things I'd like. I'd like Sebastian Rudi, but I don't have him. I'd like Lionel Messi, but I don't have him. And yet, as you say, Dennis Geiger actually had a very accomplished performance. And once again, we're looking at a Hoffenheim team or a German team that has opted to bring in a young player. I mean, Hertha were beaten on the weekend, but they had Arne Meyer playing in defensive midfield. Once again, another young player getting a chance to play in those roles of great responsibility in the holding position. And given the chance, a lot of these young kids are taking it, and Geiger looks like he's one of them.
Yeah, I think we've touched on it before, saying that this whole revolution in German football over the past sort of 10, 12 years, it has brought about almost too many of these defensive midfielders.
Yeah.
Obviously, Toni Kroos was the prototype, probably. And it seems a strange thing to criticise, and ultimately it's really not a criticism. But there is a wealth of talent in that position for Germany at the moment. Is that at the expense of goal scorers? Well, Serge Gnabry's proving a point there, saying no, they've got that in the bag as well.
What do Leipzig do from this situation? I mean, getting beaten 4-0, I think it was their biggest defeat in the club's history, I think. But I mean,
it's their biggest
Bundesliga defeat. Well, I mean, that doesn't really count because they've been around for 2 minutes.
It
but
was their first ever 4-0 away defeat.
There you go.
In 164.
So, I mean,
away games.
A historic defeat going into a big European week. How does Hasenhüttl shake that off? Because, I mean, this is not like a side like this gets beaten like this very often.
It wasn't a second 11 either. I imagine that's pretty much the 11.
Close to perfect,
that they'll go for against Besiktas in the week. And I thought, especially with the fourth goal that Mark Uth put away in the final few minutes, they just seem to stop. They seem to absolutely give up. And I can't imagine for a minute that Hasenhüttl and Ranić are going to be happy with that. They seem to completely give up. In terms of attitude, it doesn't show a particularly good sign going into a game which they have to win. And then they're reliant, I think, on Monaco getting a result against Porto, aren't they? But of course, Besiktas are already through. Not sure what sort of effect that could have on their lineup going into the game, because I've not followed Turkish football particularly closely over the last few weeks. Have you?
No. Safe to say, I haven't either. Right, that wraps up Tribune Weekly this week. Sad to see Peter Stöger go. Keen to see how Borussia Dortmund's defence continues, whether it improves or not, and how the German teams fare in Europe this week. Certainly going to be a a big week for them in the context of their seasons from January onwards. I'm at JohnBlog66. Matt is at Matt_4D. Or
that's the one.
Correct. Look at that. Straight out of the top drawer. Get in touch with any of us if you'd like to do hear us talk about anything on the show. If you want us to answer any of your questions, drop us a line. If you want to leave us a review about how wonderful or how terrible you think the show is, then do that as well.
Of course, if you're coming over and going to a game, let us know, because there is a chance that we'll be there too.
Absolutely. And that's it from us at Tribune this week. Take care and goodbye.